We welcome you to the Wayne County Bible Center on this May 30th, 2021 Memorial Day weekend, and we are continuing our study on what Jesus has to say about faith. We've been in this about 5 weeks, and we've seen him say many things about believe in me, and we've looked at that Greek word pistis, which means you can believe facts about someone. But the second part of that definition means to put your trust in someone, to depend on them, Lehman, to put your faith in. You can believe that that is a chair when it's sitting there. You can believe the facts about a chair. But faith is when you commit to that chair and sit down in it, believing it's going to hold you up. So we're going to look at that word a little bit better today. But today we look at a simple phrase. And in John chapter 1, verse 43, it says this: "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he finds Philip, and he says unto him, Follow me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I pray to be cleansed by your blood, Lord Jesus, and anointed by your Spirit, filled with your Spirit. Father, I confess to you the filth that exists in my life, and I pray to be cleansed of it, and I pray, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit to change me. And Father, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, that you will speak to our hearts. And Father, I just pray that every need that we have, we'll bring before you today. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are our good shepherd. And you call us out and we follow you. And Father, I pray today on this Memorial Day, I pray blessings on all of our veterans, all of our active duty, service men and women here in the States and throughout the world. And I pray, Lord Jesus, comfort upon these precious families who have lost their loved ones for the cause of the United States of America and freedom here and in countries all over the world. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for your blessings on America. And we stand today to say that together we honor the flag of the United States of America. And we honor for everything that it stands for and everything that this great nation stands for. And it is in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 43 says this: "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he finds Philip, and he says unto him, Follow me." Now I'm going to take you to several verses where Jesus says, "Follow me, follow me, follow me." And I want to ask you a simple question. Is this an invitation or is it a command? When he looks at you and says, "Follow me," is that an invitation or is it a command or is it both? And I want you to notice what he says. He finds Philip and says unto him, "Follow me, Philip, follow me." It's an individual call. Follow me. And he says your name. And Jerry, there was a time in my life, I believe the Lord said unto me, "It's time for you to follow me, Leo. Follow me." And so as we develop this series, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And is it essential to your salvation? You know, we looked at the parable of the four soils. All four of those people, Cameron, believed. But only one was saved. Three had a level of belief that we call James 2:19 belief. And that's the belief that God exists. And facts about God. And James says even the devils believe that. But then we've got the Hebrews 10:38, 39 belief. The belief to the saving of your soul that results in a commitment where you don't turn back. Where you surrender and submit your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So there are many people, as Billy Graham said, that go to church every Sunday that aren't saved. They believe facts about Jesus, but they've never made a commitment to Jesus. So are you a believer about Jesus, or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. And just as Jesus has a lot to say about faith, Jesus has a lot to say about following me. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it says this, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their, they immediately left their nets, and they followed him." Now, I want to grab this in verse 19. "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you." You say, "Well, Brother Leo, he said he's going to make them fishers of men." Well, I want you to understand the invitation or the command. And it says, "Follow me, and I will make you the man or the woman you were created to be." Follow me, and I will make you the man or the woman that you were created to be. Follow me, and I will remake you into my plan for your life. So there comes a time in our life where we get an invitation from God to follow Him, and we're going to examine what that means. But when you're following Jesus, you are living out the will of God for your life. There are many people, I believe, that don't know God's will, that don't seek God's will, that don't experience God's will. But the only way we live out the will of God for our life is by following Jesus. Now, look at what they did. Immediately, they left their nets and followed Him. Immediately, they left their past life. They left what they were doing at the time, and they followed Jesus in a new direction. Immediately after they heard the call, follow me. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, verse 27, after these things, Jesus went forth and saw a publican named Levi, or Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector, which was a unscrupulous occupation. You made your money by taxing people over what was due. So it was a form of extortion. And he said unto him, "Follow me." That's pretty simple. Follow me. And Matthew rose up. He left all, and he followed Jesus. And Levi made a great feast in his own house and invited his friends. So he heard the call. He rose up. He left everything behind in his past life. And he followed Jesus. You know, we need to examine that. You need to examine in your own life. If you come to a place where you can see right here in the middle, Jesus saying, "Follow me," and you can see in the past, your past life, and you can see where Jesus has led you since that day, Lehman. Amen. What He's led you into, what He's allowed you to do, how He has led you forward. So look at what He says. He rose up. He left all. Look at verse 28. He left all. You know, last week I brought up a convenient religion. You know, there are a lot of people that want a religion of convenience. I told the folks last week about when I was in middle school. And I thought everybody went in the same church, believed the same thing. And we were sitting around the lunch table. And I told, there was a group of us sitting there, and I said I was a Baptist. And this seventh, eighth grade, this little girl looks at me and she goes, "Oh, my family would never be Baptist. You know, my parents would never be Baptist. And they were Episcopalian." And I'm looking at her, and I said, well, oh, because Baptists can't drink. I mean, she was dead to right serious about that. And as I grew older, I found out there are a lot of people in this world that pick their religion based on what the religion says they can do and they can't do. I didn't even realize she's talking about alcohol. I'm sitting there drinking milk saying, I'm a Baptist and I'm doing pretty good right now. But you know, the bottom line is, you know, here's a guy that left all to follow Jesus. I can remember Mary having kids on my street when I had to go to church on Sunday night saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not a Baptist, I'm Methodist. We don't have Sunday night. We can go play basketball. So you've got a tremendous amount of people that don't know what in the world it means to be in a committed relationship with Jesus Christ. And as I said last week, you know, I want to be in a committed relationship with Jesus Christ. And I gave you a whole litany of verses that said, I want a friend like that. I want a provider like that. I want a counselor like that. Everything that He has to offer, I need in my life. Amen. And the more you put into your relationship with Jesus Christ, the more you get out of it. And I want to praise God, His treasury is exhaustless in the things He can bring into our life. And that's kind of what we're looking at today. Go with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Another follow me. Mark chapter 10 verse 17 says this, and when Jesus was gone forth in the way, there came one running, and he kneeled to him, and he asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? That I may be saved and inherit eternal life. And Jesus answers this question. In verse 21, Jesus beholding him loved him, and said unto him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross, and follow me. And you know, I've done it myself, other preachers do it, we've always do it. When you do the story of the rich young ruler, and you say, well, what did Jesus ask him to do? Everybody always said, oh, he said, go sell everything you have. Well, that's not all he said. He said, go and sell, and then come and follow. Go and sell, and come and follow. Come, take up your cross, and follow me. And what he's saying is, he's saying, leave your old life behind, die to self, take up your cross, and follow me. And you say, well, really, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, certainly it means to be led by Jesus, to be guided by Jesus, to follow Jesus, to obey His teachings, to surrender your life to Him, to submit to His authority and His lordship. If I'm following Him, I'm not out ahead of Him, I'm not over here on my own. I am following His leadership, His guidance, and His authority. And that's what it means. But let me show you one more thing it means. Go to Luke chapter 9. And this is where the blessings are. I'm going to show you in a moment. Jesus gives a beautiful, beautiful word picture of what it means to follow Him. In Luke chapter 9. Verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Judy, you helped me out last week. Give me the lyrics again. Wherever you go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Okay, here's the song. That's it. You know, we stand up and sing it all the time, Apollos. Wherever you lead, I'll go. We stand up all the time and sing, Apollos, I surrender all. And I think anytime somebody's singing those songs, they need to say, you know, am I following him in this area in my life? And am I following him in this area in my life? Am I surrendering unto his authority in this area of my life? In this area? We just sing the song, Lehman. You know, I've been doing this 37 years. I'm still waiting for a church member to come up to me and say, Brother Leo, you know, when Ken led and I surrender all today, I couldn't sing that song because in certain areas in my life I've not surrendered. And I'm not going to stand there in church and lie while I'm singing. But we don't take it that seriously. You know, a lot of folks say, you know, I don't lie. We lie to God right in the church building. Ken, I'd feel pretty good if next time you go to lead and sing wherever you lead, I'll follow, I surrender all. Nobody sings with you. At least that means we're thinking about it. We're allowing the Spirit to deal with us. Now, look at what it says. I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him in verse 58, you know, foxes have their holes, the birds have nests. I don't even have any way. I don't even own a house or a tent. And in verse 59, he said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And then I'll follow. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but I want you to go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go tell my family goodbye, which are at my house. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Judy, that's another one. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. But what are we learning here? What we're learning here is when you're following Jesus, He's the priority. He's the priority. And you put Him first and you put His teachings first and you do those things that please Him, knowing you're going to be blessed above measure and He knows what's best for you. You think he's trying to be mean? I mean, Tim, is he that hard of a taskmaster? I mean, you know, we can make it. You know, if you even go by the Old Testament, what is it? In the Old Testament, God asked for 90% of your money and you kept 10% to pay your bills. Isn't that how it worked? And isn't it 6 days he expects you to be in church 2 hours a day? And then only one day is a fun day, you know? And when it comes to your communion, you know, what do we have, Dave? You're the math teacher. 24 hours in a day. If I sleep 8, then I've got 16 hours, correct? You know, you got 16 hours where you're awake, and Cameron, 15 and a half of those hours we need to be in prayer and communion with God, and then 30 minutes we can do whatever we want. Right? Patty's in here today, which is unusual, and she's shaking her head no. So what is it, Patty? Is it the opposite of what I just said? And guess what? People can't even do that. They can't even do that. I mean, this man gave his life on the cross. Yeah. And we can't give him 30 minutes a day. We're not going to give 10% to godly causes to help people in our community or throughout the world. We're not going to give him 2 hours one day a week. God forbid how hard it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. No. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do. I mean, I'm embarrassed at times at how little he asked of me based on how much He's done for me. Follow me, Apollos. He says that. Follow me. Make me the priority. So, what is it that we need to do? Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And let me show you how the Lord describes following Him. How the Lord describes following Him. In John chapter 10, verse 1, He's talking about the good shepherd. And He says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Now, I want to give you the Galilean sheepfold illustration. Now, a sheepfold is an enclosure, either by a rock wall, square, by a rock wall, maybe 4 feet high, in the Galilean countryside are the pastures, with one entrance. One entrance. And as the shepherds would tend their sheep, different shepherds with different flocks, in the evening they would lead them to the sheepfold. And Jerry may have a flock, and Ken may have a flock, and Andrea may have a flock. You know, people listen to you now and they say, "Why couldn't a woman be a shepherd?" Okay, we're going to... I'm covering all my bases. So, Andrea, you got a flock. And let's say each one of them have 10 sheep. Well, in the evening, they would all corporately use the sheepfold. You're going to understand why this point's important. And so 30 sheep would be in the sheepfold, but only 10 belong to Andrea or Kent or Jerry. So listen, and they would stay overnight, and the porter, who was an under-shepherd, he would guard them from the robbers and the thieves, and the shepherds would go home and rest. Verse 2, "But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The next morning he comes, and the porter opens up the gate, and the sheep hear his voice," or hers, "and they call their own sheep out by name and lead them out." They name them. That's how individual it was. That's how much they cared for them. Got the cockaburras out of them and all these beautiful things. "And when he puts forth, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Verse 14, "I, Jesus, am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of my sheep." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." I know them, and they follow me. Verse 3, "I call them by their name and lead them out." Verse 4, "I go before them, and they follow me." So I want you to understand, they know Him, they know, hear, and recognize His voice of guidance and counsel and correction and conviction and comfort, and He calls them by name, and they follow Him. They don't follow the other two shepherds. And we're going to look at that verse in a minute because it's very important. But they follow Him. He leads them out in verse 3. He goes before them in verse 4. And in verse 4, they follow Him. Now, I read this week. If you've ever fed cattle regularly out of a truck, like a truck will pull out into a pasture, you know, those cattle will start following that truck. and they're bumping and they're pushing and they're shoving and they're wanting to be the first one at the tailgate. Well, that's what they said about these sheep. Man, Cameron, when they're coming out of the fold, they're bumping and you know, they're getting ahead of one because they want to be closest to the shepherd. Because Melissa, he's the provider, and they recognize that. They want to be close to him. And look at what it says in verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he goes in and out of the sheepfold, and he finds pasture. Now, why is it important that they stay close to the shepherd when they're out in the pasture or when they're being led back in or whatever? So when they're led back into the sheepfold, the shepherd's leading them to protection and security and peace and rest. Those sheep don't have to sleep with one eye open. They're being protected. And so when we're in the sheepfold, the shepherd's protect. And then when we go in and out, he leads us to nourishment, to sustenance. He guides us to places that provide for our needs, and they bless us. Mary, I want to praise God. You know, in 1994, God led me out of the traditional ministry. I didn't know where I was going. I had no church to go to. All I knew was I had to get out. God was leading me out. And 94, 2004, 2014, 2021, where are we at? 26 years later? 26 years later, God has led me to green pastures that I didn't even know existed. Just by following Jesus. And in the last quarter century, I probably had a half a dozen or more pastors say, boy, Brother Leo, I sure wish I could do what you did. What do you mean you wish you could do? You can do it. If God's leading you, you need to do it. But what are the things that keep us from following God? Those anchors of what we perceive as security or comfort zone or whatever. And God is trying to lead you to a greater fulfillment, a greater blessing, a greater relationship. But we're going to hold on to the things we're used to. And there may have been a time they served a purpose. I mean, certainly my ministry's taught me where God really wanted me to be or what he was molding me to be. So look at what it says. They go out and they find pasture. So God's not just nourishing us. He's not just taking care of our needs. When it says finds pasture, that means he fills us. He satisfies us. He blesses us with verse 10. That you might have a full and abundant life. I mean, Lehman, it's a no-brainer. Amen. I'm going to follow Jesus. Yeah. So I'm going to show you in a moment what happens when you're not following Jesus. But while we're talking about pasture, go to Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack or want any good thing. He leads me out and makes me to lie down with a full belly. When a sheep lies down, he's full. I got a lot of sheep in me. Because, man, after I eat a big meal, I just want to lie down. Mary, I used to overhear where they did the buffet for years, you know. I'd go out of my office, Larry, I'd go over there. And I'd see these guys with TVC in there. getting plate after plate after plate. And I'd say to myself, I respect those guys, because after I got plate, I'd have to go home and lay down. They got to go climb poles and stuff. I think it's great when these construction guys and all can eat and then go work for them. David, I can't do that. Maybe it's our age. Maybe when we were young, like Jeremy there behind. Jeremy, you can do it, can't you? Okay. But, it's something. It's something. But they lie down. God leads us, and He leads us to still, quiet waters. He restores our soul. Verse 5b, He anoints our head with oil and it runs over. And surely goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives as we're following the leadership of the shepherd. It results in fullness, blessedness, contentment, and satisfaction. So why in the world would I not want to follow Jesus as closely as I can? Now I want you to notice something else about Psalm 23, and this is a huge point. Look at what it says in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. As the Lord's taking care of us in life. All right, I'm going to say it again. As the Lord is taking care of us in life, there exists the presence of enemies. This is another reason you need to be close to the shepherd. You know, Lehman, whether we realize it or not, there are enemies against us as children of God. So as the Lord is taking care of our needs, there exists the presence of enemies. Just like for sheep, there are dangers in this life. Say, Brother Leo, what are the dangers? Well, number one, it's my own carnality. My own propensity to be tempted and to give in to temptation. There's the way of the world and the culture and the bombardment of the secular world in which we live. There's the devil himself. What does it say in John 10:10? The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to steal from you. Now, I can't take on the devil, but I'll tell you one thing. I can sure get behind Jesus when He comes after me. Yeah. And if I'm following Him real close, I'm right there behind the Lord. Yeah. So we want to stay close. He protects us. He defends us. And He delivers us from the evil, from the temptations, from the attacks, from the distractions, the carnality, the world. So that's the picture. You want to be close. I want to be bumping Betty and Ken out of the way so I can get closer. As we go in and out of that sheepfold. But let me show you something else in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10 verse 4 it says this. And when Jesus puts forth His own sheep, He goes before them. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. They recognize the voice and the leadership of God. The voice of guidance and counsel and direction and conviction and comfort. But verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. A stranger they will not follow. A strange voice of leadership they will not follow. So I want to ask you, is that really true for you? The Greek word for stranger is allotrios, A-L-L-O-T-R-I-O-S, allotrios, A-L-L-O-T-R-I-O-S. And it simply means that which belongs to another. So you've either got the voice of God you're following, or you're following a voice that belongs to something that is not God. Well, what other voices could I be following, Brother Lil? Well, you can follow your own voice. You can follow self. Well, I think this is what I need to do. Let me show you how dangerous that voice is. I've kind of done the pros and the cons, and this is the direction I need to go in. Well, go over to Proverbs chapter 12. I don't listen to my own voice because I don't trust my own voice. Because I know I'm short-sighted. I can't see the end from the beginning. I don't want to depend on myself alone. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says this, "The way of a fool is right." The way of a fool is always right in his own eyes. You know why I can't listen to myself? Because I think I'm always right. Cameron, I ain't never been in an argument with somebody where I thought they were right and I was wrong. I wouldn't have been in an argument. I'm in the argument because I'm right. They're wrong. The way of a fool is always right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto the counsel of the Lord is wise. I added the Lord in there. A lot of times I'll add stuff in and folks will come up afterwards. They'll say, "What translation do you have?" I'll say, "Why do you ask?" "Well, let me show you. That's not in my Bible." I'll say, "Well, that's not in mine either, but I threw it in its context." So it doesn't say that, but I'm adding it in for today's message. Go with me to Proverbs 14, Proverbs 14, verse 12. It says, "There is a way which seems right unto a man." I think we need to go this route. It seems right, but the end thereof is the way of death and destruction. Lehman, I don't want to make any plans and leave God out. Amen. And Patsy, anything I'm doing in my life, I want God's approval. I mean 100%. David Rutto, if you were to ask me to go into a business venture with you, you know, I would have to say, "David, I'm going to pray about it. You give me all the information. I'm going to pray about it. But David, before I take that step, I got to get the peace of God." Because it can seem right. Because, Judy, this is all I can see right here, the horizontal. I want to be following that shepherd. Go with me to Psalm 37. I want to make sure this is happening. Psalm 37, verse 23 says this, Cameron. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." That word "ordered" means they are fixed, established, and guided by the Lord. The next step I take, I want it in my life, the decision that I make as far as, you know, even our young people, as far as who you're dating, who you're involved with, who your friends are, the choices you make through high school, etc. You know, you want to feel God's peace in that. My years in high school and college, Emma, I was a Christian. I was blessed by God. But I didn't seriously seek God. I put parameters on everything. When I was getting recruited out of high school, I'd already made up my mind. They had to offer baseball and football, and it had to be a full ride. Anybody that didn't offer that? You know, the first school that offered it was the Citadel. Citadel was an all-male military college. first thing they did, and Patty will probably never show you all the pictures of me in high school, but one of the things, if you've seen Dansby Swanson, I had all the hair coming out of the hat. The first thing I could think of, they're going to shave my head. I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock every morning, and people are going to be screaming at me as I'm marching through the barracks. And that may have been where God wanted me to go. I didn't pray about it. And so I went through, you know, 4 years. When I was in college, Jerry, I majored in what I thought could make me the most money. I'm going to major in business. Get a sales rep job. Patty and I were watching something on TV the other day, and you know what I told her? I said, you know what I think I would have really loved being? Patty said, what? I said, I think I would have loved being a park ranger. Now, I'm serious. And Cameron, I could have pursued that. I loved the outdoors. I loved hunting. I loved fishing. That never entered my mind. You know why? I never prayed. I never said, God, what do I need to do? You know, what does the Bible say, Cameron? He'll give you the delights of your heart. You know, if God had not called me into the ministry, I think I would have been miserable. I was already miserable in the business world. Because money doesn't motivate me. Being outside, though, motivates me. You know, I would have loved it. And I tell you, here I am 61. That's the first time I told Patty that. We don't seek the guidance of God. We lean to our own understanding. Look at what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3. And this is what you don't want to do. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not. In all your ways, acknowledge His authority and lordship. And here's the shepherd. He will direct and guide your path. Here we go again. Be not wise in your own eyes. I'm going to read those again. Lean not unto your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes, but give every area of your life over to the authority of Jesus Christ. Ask Him what direction He wants you to go into and seek His guidance. And that's how you stay close to the shepherd. Go back to John 10. And I'm closing out here shortly. That's a relative word. Shortly. John chapter 10, verse 5. A stranger they will not follow, for they respond not to the voice of strangers. That's allotrios. That means that which belongs to another. So I want to ask you, do you respond to other voices? Are you following other voices? What are they, Brother Leo? Well, first of all, it's your own voice. Secondly, it's the voice of the culture or the voice of the status quo. We just do everything the way everybody else does it. Or the voice of your peers. You know, we just do everything the way everybody else does it. We'll say things like, well, this is how you have to do it now. This is how you have to do it now. Oh, Brother Leo, everybody's doing it this way. This is, you know, it's just what you got to do. Is that a good reason? Is that a voice I'm going to listen to? What is it that influences us? Well, when it's the voice of the culture or the voice of the status quo or the voice of those that live in your neighborhood or the voice of those that go to school with you, or if it's the voice of those that you work with, if it's the voice of those that are your circle of friends, well, then you end up getting motivated by fear if you're doing what all they're doing because you have the fear of missing out. You have the fear of falling behind. You know, the fear of not fitting in. Somebody told me once, they said, you know, Brother Leo, you don't have a lot in common with most of the people in the world. I said, I don't have a lot in common with most of the preachers in the world. Patty and I saw a preacher on the news, bless his heart. He'd been through a hard time. And I think the church caught on fire, didn't it, Patty? Yeah, the church caught on fire. News came out to interview him. Here the church is in ruins, and he's got on a button-up shirt with a tie and a pair of dress pants. And Patty goes, they think they've got to look the part. You know, if this church catches on fire, we're going to be out here with her jeans on trying to clean up. I don't want to miss out, Brother Leo. Everybody's doing it. I don't want to fall behind, Brother Leo. Everybody's doing it. Well, you know what I say to that? God's got a plan. And He's got a plan for you. You don't want to be doing what everybody else is doing. You want to be doing what God wants you doing in your life. So we find ourselves away from the shepherd. And I close with this verse, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says this: all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. That's when you're leaning on your own understanding. That's when you're following the status quo, and you're not being guided by the Lord. So I'm going to give you a word picture here. I want you to visualize, Apollos, that the Lord, the Good Shepherd, is standing right here by this pulpit. And the flock is out here, right here on this stage area. We got 10 sheep in the flock, nine of them are in the flock. And here we are, Lehman, and we're following him, and we're going to the water, we're going to the green pastures, we're protected, and God is providing for us. But here's this one sheep, and I'm going to say it now, Pete. You probably only got listens to me out of state. If you lose me, it's because I'm walking away from the recording here. But the bottom line, here we are, Ken. Let's say the flock's up there, and this one sheep is way over here. Is this where you really want to be? And this is how people live their lives. Jesus and the flock, they're up there, but here you are way over there in the corner. I want you to understand, there are times in my life I've been there. Lehman, it makes no sense. You know what I pray a lot, Cameron? I don't ask God to forgive me for my sin. You know what I ask Him to do? Forgive me for the stupidity of my sin. Forgive me, Lord, for the stupidity of my sin. And then there are times I look back over my life and say, Lord, forgive me for getting so far out of your will. for getting so far away. How in the world? But let me tell you the beautiful thing. When you look back on those times in your life, you use them as motivation to say, hey man, I have decided to follow Jesus, and there is no, I'm going to stay as close to you as I can, Lord Jesus. I'm going to bump Ken and Betty out of the way, Lord. I'm going to get right up in there behind you. My friend, Jesus said, follow me. Follow me, Leo. Put your name there. He said, follow me, Philip. Follow me, Levi. Follow me, John, James. Put your name there. Follow me. And then say, what areas in my life am I really not following Jesus, but I'm listening to those other voices? Before you leave this room, that can change. Martha, Joe, I'm going to ask you to play softly. Before you leave this room, that can change. Just like Levi, you can get up and leave the direction that you're following, and you can make a commitment to God. Hey, I'm going to put everything on hold right now. I'm going to stop everything, and I'm going to find out the direction you want me to go in this area in my life. I'm going to follow you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments. And let's listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. Where you lead me, I will follow. And if there's areas right now where that's not true, you can confess and repent, and the Good Shepherd will scoop you right up in his arms.